It's been a great weekend, and we're thankful for that. You know, today, diving into a topic that we really discussed last week, one that is, it's really very, very personal to each one of us. And so if you weren't here last week, and I want to encourage you to go back and watch the message. We kind of laid some groundwork for what we're talking about today, but talk about this topic of offense, being offended. And again, if you're a guest with us today, I want to just maybe recognize that my message last week and this week are somewhat unique in nature, kind of not a typical Sunday message, but it's one of a very personal, deep matter of the heart. But I hope that it'll speak to you today, even if maybe church is not your normal habit or rhythm. But what do we do when we're offended? You know, there's the two people that we're kind of addressing is King Saul in the Old Testament and at the time, the would-be King David, Saul and David. And the Bible creates a contrast where King Saul was this man driven by his flesh, driven by the desires of his flesh. And then King David, a man that was driven by the things of God. And so last week we dealt with what it's like when we get offended at things, when things happen, we're offended. And because within each and every one of us is a King Saul. There's a Saul that would like to rise up in each one of us. And so we addressed that last week, and I'm going to kind of give you a recap. But if you want to stand with me, I'm going to go to the Word of the Lord in 1 Samuel chapter 18, kind of looking at some of the same passages last week, but yet kind of looking through a different lens, the lens of the side of David and not necessarily Saul. But 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 9, this is after Saul's killed Goliath. And the women are just singing in the street, and they sing, "Saul has killed his thousands, but David is 10,000." And Saul hears this, and this is his response in 1 Samuel 18 and verse 9. "And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand as at other times." So we're in the court of Saul, and Saul is being tormented, and we see David in the midst playing music, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, "I will smite David even to the wall with it." And David avoided out of his presence twice. Today, my title, my message is, it's improper grammar, so I understand that, but the title of my message today is How to Be Bad at Throwing Spears. How to Be Bad at Throwing Spears. You can be seated today. Last week, we explored the perspective of King Saul. Just to give you a couple of those points to reiterate is, you know, as Saul, this thing that was offensive to him, these women were singing this thing. They didn't think it was going to bother anyone. They thought it was fine. But yet Saul got so offended at that one song, and that began to shift his entire perspective. And so the thing that we see out of that is, number one, don't carry today's offense forward. There's things that bother us, that offend us, that they're really just meant to live in that day. But if we're not careful, and if we are driven by the things that drive King Saul, we will take an offense that happens, even if it's small and minute, and we will carry it forward into tomorrow, or we will bring yesterday's offenses into today. We understand that as Saul became obsessed with killing David, he really let go of all of the things as a king he should be focused on, and he started focusing on the wrong things. So offense will sidetrack your mind. If you become offended at someone, when you become offended at someone, the danger is, we see that offense is a thief of the ambition for the things of God. There's things that God has called us to do, people that God has called us to be, and yet if we become offended, it can steal our ambition for those things. We see a story as it progresses that Saul comes to the place where he's so offended at David that he goes into the city of priests and these priests at the city of Nob, and they had sheltered David when David was on the run. And Saul is so angry, he is so eaten up with offense that he says that all of these priests, these men of God, should be killed. And yet even his servants try to stop him and say, "Saul, you know, no, we can't do that. We can't lay our hands on them." But there's another man there. The Bible says his name is Doeg. And Saul says, "Fine, you kill them." And so what's another danger is that we will find that offense will always find company. If you're offended, you can find people that are offended and join together. And that can become so much of your identity. And as my message indicated last week, the problem is offense will cause us to misidentify our friends as enemies. Our friends as enemies. So that we come into our topic today with the understanding that within each and every one of us lies and lurks a King Saul, if you will. The desire to be justified, the desire to do things that are not of God, led by the flesh, whereas we see David, now we're going to look at, is led by the Spirit, and we're going to look at the perspective of David. We discussed how we, like Saul, can make an offense out of things and become so offended by things that happen that it can overwhelm us. And the question is not if you will be offended. You will be offended. If you're breathing oxygen today, you have probably been offended in your life, offended at family. We're getting into the holidays, but I want to preach this a little bit before the holidays, because if it's too close to the holidays, then it gets really tough. Like the week before, you got to go with that family. I'm trying to just plant the seed now. That way, when you get there, you'll be ready for it. But we all face offense. We all face offense. And now, but you know, today we're talking about David. Now, David, he's on the receiving end. So now we see a man that is trying to do what he's called to do, trying to be the right kind of man, and yet, even in the place that he's supposed to be serving, he is suffering offense. What happens if you are the innocent party? If you've done nothing wrong and yet you've been offended, what do you do when you are wrong? We go back, and today I want to talk about this idea of how to be bad at throwing spears. And so I want to use the spear as a symbol of offense. Our props department, we're stepping up. Want to use the spear. This is not necessarily a biblical connotation of a spear being synonymous with offense, but for today's example, I want to look at and inspect the spear of King Saul as this object of being offended, of offense. And, you know, we're going to look at the spear of Saul as a representation of the offense of a friend, the offense of a loved one, the offense of a leader, the offense of someone that is supposed to be there to help you, the offense that you have suffered. If you are on the receiving end, you've done nothing to deserve it, what do you do? How do we respond? How do we react? I said this last week, but which wars are the bloodiest? Civil wars. Civil wars. David is a man called by God, but to be used by God, there's a reality that you have to face in your life and walk with God, that everyone that God desires to use greatly, he must first test deeply. To be used greatly, you will be tested deeply. You know, there's a book that I've probably read 6 or 7 times at this point that I'm going to draw some things out of. And if you're interested, I think it could be a blessing to you. It's called A Tale of Three Kings by Gene Edwards. It's a phenomenal book. But the difficult thing that David had to come to terms with, that you have to come to terms with in your life, is that the chosen method by God to produce some things in his life was Saul. Offense was the method by which God chose to use to bring about something in David's life that was needed for leadership, and that was brokenness. There was a brokenness that God required from David. In our main text, we see that Saul has a spear, and he throws it at David. In the English Standard Version of 1 Samuel 18, verse 11, it says, "And Saul hurled the spear, for he thought, I will pin David to the wall. But David evaded him twice." Now, I don't know exactly what that means. I don't know if it means he had two spears. I don't know if that means he threw the spear and then another occasion threw it back. But in this one setting, we see Saul throw a spear. So it begs the question. David had to answer the question, and you have to answer the question in your life. What do you do when someone throws a spear at you? What do you do when someone offends you? Now, there's an obvious answer. There's the answer I'm sure that people would recommend David. There's an answer that we have very quickly. What's the answer? Throw it back. Right? So you're going to throw a spear at me. What do? I pluck it out of the wall and I throw it back. That's only right. Why? Because you know what? I can't put up with that. I've got to defend myself. You got to know that you can't do that to me. That's not the way things should be. I must defend myself. There's people I'm sure that would say, and very justifiably so, that you should do that. You should throw it back. You should make sure that you're vindicated. Protect yourself. Prove that you won't be pushed around. Prove that you're not going to stand and to be treated that way. Show that you're made of kingly material. And David could have. David could have done that, but if he would have thrown that spear back, he would have proven, yes, he was made of kingship material, but not the kind of king that he desired to be. David had a determination. David was principled, dedicated. He wouldn't let the king's armor dissuade him from fighting Goliath the way the Lord wanted him to. He fought lions and bears when nobody was watching. He was anointed. So the first thing I want to tell you today, again, spear being the offense that we go through when we're offended, when we're hurt, what do we do? If you want to be bad at throwing spears, the first thing you have to learn is don't throw spears back. Don't throw them back. David didn't pluck the spear out of the wall and return it. He didn't return to sender. We're so ready to do that. And it's one thing to say, you know what, I'm not going to be the aggressor. I'm not going to offend. I'm going to work on that. Sure. But it's another thing to say, you know what, even when you are offended, don't return fire. That's difficult. Why? Because it's justifiable. Why? Because I have every right to. Why? Because they deserve it. Why? Because I'm just protecting myself. These are all valid reasons. But God is calling us to have a different perspective than a King Saul perspective about offense. We continue in the story, 1 Samuel chapter 19. There's a plot to kill David by Saul. Jonathan, the son of Saul, friend of David, warns David of this. Jonathan talks his father down, and so David is spared. And so if you think about that, David had a spear thrown at him. And the next chapter, there's a plot to kill him. And now, 1 Samuel 19 and 7, Jonathan called David, and Jonathan reported to him all these things. He said, listen, I talked my father out of it. You're going to be spared. It's okay. And look at this. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as before. Now, so David, after having a spear thrown at him twice, after a plot to kill him, he goes back to the court of Saul. Now, just imagine you're David. What are you going to do if you have to go back into that place? I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to come carrying. I'm not talking about presents. Right? In my mind, I'm thinking, okay, if I'm called to come back, I'm going to make sure I'm prepared this time. I'm going to bring a spear with me, maybe. I don't plan on using it, but I'm going to be prepared because you're not going to do that again. I'm going to get my guard up. But the Bible says that David came in as before. He came in as before. It doesn't say that David came in with his guard up. It didn't say that David came in and made sure that he positioned himself differently. No, David came in as before. So number one, don't throw spears back. But number two, another challenge, don't make your own spears. Don't make things to find to make sure that you can defend yourself when you're offended. David did not come back into the court of Saul, spear in hand, just in case something else happened. No, the Bible says he came in as before. And then read on, it says, and there was war again. David went out and fought the Philistines, struck them down with a great blow. Verse 9, we see a repeat of the previous chapter. A harmful spirit of the Lord comes upon Saul. He sat in his house with his spear in hand, and David was playing the lyre. So again, first time, David's playing the harp. He's there ministering. He's doing what God called him to do, and he gets a spear thrown at him while he's serving. And now here he is again. Same thing. Verse 10, and Saul sought to pin David to the wall with the spear, but he eluded Saul so that he struck the spear into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. Let me just talk for a minute to those that are active in ministry. You're doing something for God. You're serving in ministry. Maybe you're someone that sings on the platform. Maybe you serve on the greeting team. Maybe you serve in hospitality, or you do different things. And the danger is this. When we're offended in the line of ministry, David wasn't trying to do anything wrong. He was just trying to serve God and do the right thing. He's just trying to live right. He's playing in the court of King Saul. He's playing the lyre. He plays like a harp. He's singing. And he has a spear thrown at him in the line of doing what he's supposed to do. But what does it say? It says he comes back as before, but he doesn't come back with a spear. No, he goes right back to doing what he was doing before. So I want to encourage somebody. Don't let spears steal your ministry. Don't let offense steal the ministry that God has called you to do, to the person that God has called you to be. Because the danger is that if you get offended while you're serving in the king's house, you will say, well, I'm not going to leave church. I'm not going to walk away. But you know what? I'm just going to take a step back. I'm not going to serve in the way I was serving. I'm just going to make sure I'm going to just protect myself for a little bit. There's a danger in that because you cannot hold a harp to play and do what God has called you to do and hold a spear at the same time. But if you're not careful, offense will steal your ministry from you because you'll be offended. And then now forevermore, you'll be on the defensive posture. Or let me tell somebody else that, you know, if you're not careful, the offenses that you encounter will steal you of good relationships. It can mess up your relationships with your family, people that have offended you. You didn't do anything wrong. But if you're not careful, it will rob you of the most meaningful relationships that God intends for you to have. Don't let spears steal who God has called you to do. 1 Samuel 18, David was playing the lyre as he did day by day. 1 Samuel 19, again, David was playing the lyre. Saul, spear in hand. David, ministering in the midst of it. And what is his perspective? Well, we actually get to see that because David, the author of Psalms, we see in Psalm chapter 59, is written during 1 Samuel 19. There's a parallel. So while 1 Samuel 19 is happening, which we didn't read this part, but this is the plot to kill David by King Saul that Jonathan defuses. During that plot, David pens the song of Psalm 59. I want to read a little bit of it in your hearing today, the beginning of it. Look at this, Psalm 59:1. Deliver me from my enemies, O my God. Protect me from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from those who work evil and save me from bloodthirsty men. So he calls unto God, but look at how he ends that chapter. Look at the end of Psalm 59 in verse 16, and this gives you the perspective. What kind of perspective should we have when people throw spears at us, when people plot against us? Look at David's response. But I will sing of your strength. I will sing aloud of your steadfast love in the morning, for you have been to me a fortress and a refuge in the day of my distress. O my strength, I will sing praises to you. O God, you are my fortress, to the God who shows me steadfast love. So let me tell you something today. What David understood is when they seek your life, when they attempt to attack you, sing of his strength. So why do we come in here today and worship? Is it people that are just all their life is perfect? Everyone that's sitting up here in the choir standing and singing, their life is going great? No, it's some people that have made a decision. Even when I go through difficult times, my response is not going to be to become bitter and offended and angry and hurt, but I will sing of the praises of God. You know what? I think it might be in order to pause just for a moment. And if you've been offended, if you've been hurt, if someone has done something to you, maybe just for a moment, you can just sing of the praises of God and say, God, even in the midst, even when I'm hurting, I will sing of your strength because you are my fortress. You are my strong tower. You are my deliverer. Oh yes, can you just begin to praise God in the middle and your perspective can be changed. Your outlook can be transformed. Why? Because I can sing in the middle of a trial. I can sing in the middle of an attack. I will sing of the one who is my strength. Thank you, God. When you are offended, how do you survive offenses? David prays for God to avenge him. God, this is your fight, not my fight. David did what he always did. He just kept singing. He just kept singing. Sometimes it's not about, oh, I got to respond in a different way. You know what? Sometimes it's just being faithful. Just keep moving. Just keep going forward. Don't let the things that you're going through rob you of your relationship with God, rob you of your faith, rob you of your song. In this instance, we see the song of David as a representation of his steadfastness, that even in the midst of what I'm going through, I'm not going to change who I look to. I'm not going to change where I seek answers from. It's always going to be from God. Let me tell you something else that I don't mean to offend you, but there's a truth about offense. Offense, I have seen, is more about perspective than circumstance. How do I know? I have seen and known people that have been through unimaginable personal tragedy, suffered deep loss, gone through hardship after hardship, and yet are joyful, are peaceful, are happy, are loving, are patient. And unfortunately, I've encountered people that have blessings stacked upon them. Beautiful life, family, healthy, wonderful home, job, security, and yet offended, hurt. And they stay that way. It's taught me that because of what Jesus did for us, we have the ability to rise above the circumstances of our life. But the pen is in your hand, and you are the author of your life's perspective, and you will either write yourself and cast yourself as the victim or the victor of your story. But it's up to you, not your circumstances. Again, I want to look across some passages at David's perspective and glean some of the things about spears today. And I know I'm speaking very metaphorically, but I hope you can take some of the things to heart, because if we don't deal with offense, it will eat us alive like a poison. It will infect, as we saw with Saul last week, it will infect every perspective, every relationship. It's not compartmentalized. Offense cannot be compartmentalized. It will bleed into every area of your life. We see in 1 Samuel, after David has been plotted against, after 1 Samuel 19, when Saul seeks his life, we pick up on this conversation with Jonathan and David. And it's interesting because when David reunites with Jonathan, the conversation is not, "What's wrong with your father? It's crazy. I can't believe he would do that to me. I can't believe he would pursue me. He's mad. He's insane. This is ridiculous. Jonathan, what's happening?" No, look at what David says. And the New Living Translation says it like this, 1 Samuel 20. He found Jonathan. He says, "What have I done?" he exclaimed. "What is my crime? How have I offended your father that he is so determined to kill me?" Look at the perspective of David. Where does he look? Inward. He looks to himself. Now let me pause and say, I'm not advocating for us to look and see how our better behavior could possibly change someone that is abusive or offensive. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that there is a posture of David's heart that continually comes out, no, regardless of what happens, regardless of the circumstances. We skip forward in the story, 1 Samuel chapter 24. This is a moment where David spares Saul's life. We see that in this interesting, this cave, that Saul goes into a cave and David and his men were in the innermost part of the cave, and David's men say, "Look, this is it. This is the opportunity you have. The enemy is in your hand. Take advantage of it." And David arose, and the Bible says he just cut off a corner of Saul's robe. But even that, look at the perspective of David in verse 5 of Samuel 24. Afterward, David's heart struck him because he had cut off a corner of Saul's robe. He said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my Lord, the Lord's anointed, and put my hand against him, seeing he is the Lord's anointed." And then there's another opportunity we're going to talk about in a moment. But David gets a second, another opportunity to end Saul's life. And on the precipice of this opportunity, look what David says in 1 Samuel 26 and 9. When they say, "Kill Saul, do it." David says, "No, don't kill him. For who can remain innocent after attacking the Lord's anointed?" What do you hear David not doing? David never fans the flame of offense for Saul in his heart, even in private. Another thing I want to tell you, if you want to be bad at throwing spears, looking at the example of David's conversation, don't practice throwing spears in private. It's tough. I'm not saying don't vent. I'm not saying don't talk to a trusted friend. I'm not saying you have to act like you're perfect. I'm saying what you practice in private may just come out in public. Now, this, I think this happens to all of us. You ever had that moment where maybe you're talking to someone and someone's been bothering them and they're just not saying a word? And just something happens, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it's like, "You know what?" And then it's just like, bam, 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 bam. You're like, "Bro, where'd that come from?" Now, those moments happen. Surely not to me. Don't ask my wife. I never do that. We all have outbursts. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is that if we're not careful, we will stir up hatred in the privacy of our own heart and mind and soul, and then pretend like that's not going to come out somewhere. If I don't want to be good at throwing spears, If I don't want to become adept at throwing spears in public, I better not be practicing in private. I better not be consumed in private with, okay, what happened? This is what happened. This gets the weight of it. This is how it's going to happen. If I'm not going to do it, but if I did, this is what I would do. And this is how I would say. And we do those things. If you don't ever want to throw spears in public, don't practice in private. If you don't want to be good at throwing spears, don't spend all of your private time perfecting the skill and then trying to resist the temptation to use it. What I'm saying is you need to eliminate that. Every time we see David in a situation where he could justifiably speak out, act out, throw a spear, he responds with the word and the law of God. I can't do this to Saul. I can't touch this. I can't do this. So you know what? It's not enough to say, okay, I don't want to be good at throwing spears. No, I need to make a commitment that in my hand, a spear is like a foreign object. I'm not even used to it. I don't even know how to handle it. That every time I see a spear, even in the privacy of my own home, it's not a place that I pick it up and I speak to it. You know what? It's one thing for me to come here and just look the right way. But you know what? I don't want to be known at home as a man that throws spears. I don't want my children to say, oh yeah, we know what that is. That's offense. My dad talks about that all the time. No, let my commitment be, oh Lord, I don't even want to practice in private. Let offense be a foreign thing out of my mouth. Let offense be something that doesn't come forth in my lips. Let my mind not be consumed with offense. Let my actions not be consumed with offense. If you don't want to be good at throwing spears, don't practice in private. It's a challenge for us. It's a challenge for you. It's a challenge for me. What are the contents of my private conversations? Am I throwing spears? Am I practicing that thing that I would say I would never do? And you're going to have to grapple with this. Why? Because everyone in this room will be offended at some point. Somebody will throw a spear at you. Somebody will offend. And guess what? If you are a member of this church and you've never been offended at anyone ever at this church or even a friend, you probably need to come around a little bit more. Why? Because when I'm talking about spears, and there's different type of spears, there's throwing javelins, but what I would say is the type of spear that is commonly used is not a long-range weapon. No, a spear in this instance is a weapon of proximity. I'm not talking about the sniper long, far away off that you don't recognize. No, I'm talking about the spear that the offensive people that you are in proximity with. I'm trying to get into where you are. I'm talking about your family. I'm talking about a brother or sister in Christ. I'm talking about someone here that you know. I'm talking about coworkers. I'm talking about people that you're close to that they have offended you and they've done something. And it's poisoning your spirit because you may not be doing anything now, but you and I both know at home, in the privacy of your thoughts, you're practicing. You're offended. You're practicing. Oh, when the time comes. I don't want to. I'm not going to do it. But if I get the opportunity, if I have to. But how dangerous is that thought process? I don't want to be good at throwing spears. And if I don't want to be good at throwing spears in public, I better not be practicing in private. Because you can maybe trick me for a while. You can come shake my hand and say, oh, that's a great message. And hold that spear right behind your back. And then go out of this place and keep practicing, keep practicing, keep practicing. Again, we see David, his choices. 1 Samuel 26, we read this last week, but I want to look at the perspective of David. 1 Samuel 26, there's a scenario where Saul has again, pursued David with 3,000 handpicked men. That just escalates over and over. It's worse and worse and worse. And yet they come upon Saul's army completely asleep. And the Bible says that the Lord put the army to sleep. And David says, he says, who will go down to the camp with me? And Abishai says, I'll go with you. So David and Abishai went into the army by night, and there lay Saul sleeping. Look at this. Within the encampment. Look what the Bible says. With his spear stuck in the ground at his head. Right there. This weapon of offense that he tried to inflict damage to David with was right there for the taking, right next to his head, perfectly positioned. Now again, Abishai said to David, God has given your enemy into your hand this day. Please let me pin him to the earth with one stroke of the spear. I will not strike him twice. Again, this is an ordained moment by God. The Bible says that the Lord put Saul and his men to sleep. This wasn't an accident. The Lord literally paved the way for David to be here. Again, if you read the preceding chapters, Saul had murdered 85 men of God. He was out currently with 3,000 men to kill David, even though David has spared his life already. So it would be self-defense. God had anointed David to be king, so this is part of that process. And the Bible says that God put them to sleep. So here we are. He paved the way for David to be in this circumstance. And Abishai says, this is it. God has given you your enemy. Look. But look at the response of David. Verse 9, David said to Abishai, do not destroy him, for who can put out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? David said, as the Lord lives, the Lord will strike him, or his day will come to die, or he will go down into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should put my hand against the Lord's anointed. But now, take now the spear that is at his head and the jar of water, and let us go. So David took the spear and the jar of water from Saul's head, and they went away. No man saw it or knew it, nor did any awake. They were all asleep because a deep sleep from the Lord had fallen upon them. Again, the Lord placed them in this position. This was the solution to the problem. And I know that this story is full of metaphor, but again, imagine with me. David has gone through all of these things. He's been offended. He's been hurt time and time again. Nothing is fixing it. And here it is. God has made a way. The spear is in the ground. The enemy's right there. David has a choice to make. But David knows something, because to Abishai, this spear was the solution. And God will put spears in your path. God will ordain spears to be in your path that you can use to solve your problems. This spear would have fixed it. But David didn't see a solution. He saw a test. And the last thing I want to tell you today is that God will put spears in your path. But God put spears in your path to remove them, not to use them. David did the right thing. When the opportunity came, he didn't throw it. He removed it. Even when it seemed like this is exactly what God meant. Oh, I can fix it. Finally, my time has come. You know why? Because David knew you can't create circumstances enticing enough for me to use a spear. Offense will not be the way that I move forward in my life. David said, there's no way. You cannot create circumstances enticing enough for me to use offense as the way that I move forward and solve. I will not solve my problems with offense, even when I've been offended. And you will have the opportunity placed in your path by God, seemingly, to take that spear of offense and fix it. Fix it. Fix the problem. But God has not placed spears in your path as a solution. He put spears in the path of his people so that we can remove it from the equation. Will you stand with me today? I know this is a unique message today. I know this is a unique topic. I know this is unique for this type of setting. And again, if you're a guest with us, I want you to know that we see in this narrative, Saul, his trajectory was set. He was eaten alive with offense, and he determined his own fate. You can read the rest of his story. It's sad that David was on the right path. So what do you do if I made mistakes? Well, you're not locked in like Saul. Why? Because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. Today, if you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus, that is how you are washed of all offense. The things you've done to offend others, the way that you've been offended, if you want to let go of some things, you can let go of it in the water of baptism, because when you're baptized, the old person, that offended person, that angry person can die, and a new person. When we're baptized, we're not just a better version of ourselves. We are a new, the Bible says you are a new creation, a new heart. That's for you today. But for those of you that have been walking with the Lord, everything I'm saying, there's a phrase that I would love if this would just seep into the fiber of our being. to the place that we would just carry it with us as a response in moments that you are offended. And it's simply this: four words, a commitment, a declaration. I don't throw spears. I don't. I just don't. Even when it seems convenient, no. When it seems like it would fix it, no. Let our commitment be, you cannot create a set of circumstances that will cause me to pick up a spear. I'm just not going to do it. But that's tough. It's tough not to throw spears back when they're thrown at you. It's tough not to fall back into a defense mode and craft your own spears if needed. It's also tough to not practicing spear throwing in private. Man, that's tough. That's tough. It's difficult. And sometimes God will put spears right in your path, ready for the use, ready for the taking. But they're not there to throw them. They're there so you can remove them. So in a moment, I'm going to pray over you, and then I'm going to invite you to come down around this front and pray together as kind of a declaration that, Lord, I want to commit this to my heart. And I would love for as many that would to come. I don't want anyone to feel singled out or soloed out. But you know what? When I even look at my own life, how dangerous would it be if I stand here to you today preaching, but yet in my own home, my kids know me as a man that picks up spears in private and practices the assassination of people I disagree with. How dangerous. Because guess what? If my kids grow up handling spears, I shouldn't be shocked when they start throwing them. That's on me. That's on me. You know what? There's some relationships, maybe some marriages in here today that your prayer has been, Lord, I want to pick up some healthy things in our marriage. I want to get back to the way things were. I want to get back to the beauty of it. Well, you've been praying that prayer, but today, you know what? I want to challenge you. You want to pick up some good things in your marriage? You know what the first thing you have to do is? Put down the spear. Put down the spear of offense. Maybe I'm not even saying it's unjustified. I'm talking about the justified, very real spear that you have every right to pick up. But to what end? Can you solve some problems with a spear? Yeah, you can. You can solve some problems in your marriage with a spear. But what's the end result? Death. Pain. But it's a challenge. Why? Because I can come here. Man, it's great to see y'all. Thankful to be in church today. What a great presence of God we felt. I worshiped. It was awesome. But then I slip out these doors. I get in my car. And it's just my wife and I, kids. The spear comes back out. So today I'm challenging you. Parents, let a spear be a foreign object in our home. Let a fence out of our mouth be foreign to our children. Let it be foreign. You're going to get hurt. It's going to be tough. You're going to have to talk about some things. I'm not saying shelter and hide. But what are you going to do? Are you going to answer and solve things like Saul or like David? So I want to pray over you, and then I want to challenge you to come down and commit yourself to prayer. Let's pray together. Lord, I pray today that you would help us, Lord. God, I don't want to be like King Saul. Lord, I may have opportunities to throw a spear back, God, justifiably, every right to. But God, today I pray that we could understand that you've not called us to throw spears back when we're offended. You've called us to evade, God, and move forward in our walk with you. God, I pray that I wouldn't make spears. I pray that I wouldn't be a person that holds offense. And God, I pray that I wouldn't practice throwing spears in private, Lord, but I would walk away from that. Lord, and I pray that I would not be the kind of person that when a spear is in my path, I use it, I throw it. But Lord, let me remove it from a situation. Help us in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Would you come at this time? Would you find a place around this altar to pray together? Maybe as a family, just come. Maybe come with your spouse and set down the spear today and say, yes, I've been offended before, but I don't want to be offended. I don't want to fix my problems with a spear.
I want to say, Lord, I need you to renew my heart. I need you to give me a clean heart. Yes, that's it. Remove some spears today. Take some spears out of the equation and say, oh Lord, today I've got a spear in my path, but I'm not going to throw it. I'm going to remove it, oh God. Yes, all across this place, commit ourselves. I don't throw spears. I won't throw spears. In the name of Jesus, let's pray together. Let's commit ourselves to this.